I want to invite us to stand to our feet. We're going to continue our series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Saved-ish, Living Upright in an Upside Down World. Everybody say Saved-ish. So here's what we're doing. We're learning like what it means to live life as a Christian and what it means to be a Christian at a fundamental level means I've placed my faith and trust in Jesus. I've received his salvation by grace through faith, meaning that there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. You only receive it by believing in Christ. And because of his grace and because of his goodness, he extends his salvation to us. He saves us from the penalty and the power and eventually the presence of sin. And so now, because Christ has saved us, he gives us his Holy Spirit who seals our salvation, which means that in Christ Jesus, you can never lose your salvation. I thought I would get some amens right there. That means when you make the decision, put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are eternally secure. He says, no money can pluck you out of my hand. When you place your life in my hands, can't nobody get you out. I got a vice grip on that. Amen, somebody. Which means he is a firm foundation. Doesn't matter what comes in your life. Like when you're in Christ Jesus, he is your anchor. He holds you down. And so the way that he does that is through his Holy Spirit, who the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, seals our salvation. But now that we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, he now does what the Bible talks about, conforms us to the image of Christ. In other words, he wants to make us look more like Jesus. And so here in Galatians chapter 5, we've been looking at these different characteristics of somebody who follows Jesus. It's known as the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the lifestyle of a Christian. And so I hope that this series has been encouraging and challenging. And big shout out to my incredible wife who preached an incredible word last week on the peace of God. Come on, y'all celebrate Ariel. Come on, y'all need to do better than that. Bless God. Hold your peace. And so we're going to continue on with that in Galatians chapter 5. So verse 16, I'm going to start there just to give us some context to what Paul is talking about here in this chapter. But here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says these words, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, Paul is saying that you got a war going on between the Spirit and your flesh. He says, walk by the Spirit, not the flesh. And here's what he says, what happens when we walk according to the flesh. The works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here's what Paul is not saying. He's not saying that if you happen to slip up and do one of these things that all of a sudden you're not saved. No, he says that this is the lifestyle of somebody who has not put their faith and trust in Jesus. But then he says, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, which is what this series is all about, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit of God. And so I want to go back to verse 22. If you've been following, you know where we're going next today. This is going to be one some of us might not like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience. So today, as we preach on patience, I want to preach from this theme and thought. Get your weight up. Get your weight up. Tell the person beside you, get your weight up. Get your weight up. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness and grace. Thank you that you are the rock in which we build our faith. In the midst of all that's going on around us, God, we thank you that you give peace on the inside. Thank you for securing us. I pray that you would speak to us and give us wisdom, give us clarity, give us directions. Would you remove distractions that we might be able to lock into your word today? In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. Get your weights up. You all can be seated here. And for all of our online family and those of you who are watching this message at another time, we are grateful to have you here today. Now, Bridge family, can I tell you one of the greatest gifts that God has created for us humans? Can I tell y'all one of the greatest gifts that he's given us? It's not Chick-fil-A, it's not the Jesus chicken. It's not Starbucks coffee. And I know that many of us love coffee. I hate coffee. I have not found a single ounce of coffee that I like. Try different flavors, it still tastes nasty to me. So all you coffee drinkers, to me, I judge you. I think you're weird. I'm kidding. God's greatest gift that he's created is not Target, as great as Target is. My wife loves to shop at Target. She finds any reason to go to Target. Need to get a toothbrush, I'm going to Target. Go grocery shopping, go to Target. Not Target. Not even, this is one of my favorites, but I don't believe this is one of God's greatest gifts that he's created. Not even the glorious gift of God's grace in the form of the hot sign at Krispy Kreme Donuts. My God. I felt that. Raspberry filled glazed donut. How many raspberry filled donuts? How many of y'all in here love? I almost want to go right now. All those are good. But I think one of God's greatest gifts that he's created, above all those things, is the gift known as Amazon Prime. Can I get a good amen in here, somebody? My God, thank you, Father, for creating Amazon Prime. Thank you for the idea that you deposited in certain people to be able to release this gift to bless the heavens and the earth. Because I can order something today. Right now, I can get out my phone. You can pull out your phone right now and go to Amazon and find something and order it. And there's a good chance that it could be here tomorrow. And in some cases, depending on the favor of God, it can be here today. Oh, my gosh. Come on. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all, come on. Come on. It's the simple things in life that do it for me. When I can order that thing, and that thing will say, be here by tonight at 10 p.m. What? A breakout in the praise real quick. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Because Amazon Prime bailed y'all out with last-minute Christmas shopping. Come on. Y'all know, during the pandemic, especially while we were quarantined and all this type of stuff, you couldn't go out and early on. We ain't know if we could be around each other. Couldn't touch each other because you might die, literally. And it's like, yo, Amazon Prime became our best friend. I ain't got to go to the store. I ain't got to pull up nowhere. I can just order it, and it'll be right at my front doorstep. Leave it outside. Then I'm going to spray the box. Early on in the pandemic. But Amazon Prime, I believe, is a gift of God. And what I love about Amazon Prime, and I think this is what we all can agree on, what we love about it so much, is that we don't have to wait that long. That's what I love about Amazon Prime. I ain't got to wait. I ain't got to wait in no line. I ain't got to deal with no crazy people in line. It'll show up the next day, maybe even show up today. I don't have to wait long. How many of y'all don't like to wait for stuff? Come on, can we be honest? I don't like waiting. I'm in a Chick-fil-A line longer than 5 minutes. I got a problem. No, my pleasure. I don't care nothing about your pleasure. Where my food? Pray for your pastor sometimes. The patience. You know, one of the things, I thought I was a really patient person. I say this all the time. Until we had kids. I thought the gift, that the fruit of patience had been fully cultivated in my life. Until our oldest turned 2. That's what I saw, that I had a lot more sanctification process that needed to take place in my life. Come on, parents, y'all know what I'm talking about? The way of culture and the way the times that we live in, this world is moves at the pace of franticness and impatience. The rhythm of this world is to not have to wait for things. That's why we love microwaves, because you can cook something quick, and we can have everything now. We can order something today, and it won't take a week. It could be here in a day or two. And let's be honest, like me, I love being able to order something and then be here the next day, even more the same day. But the problem is, we carry that same type of perspective and ethos into every area and dimension of our life. So we carry that with us now when it comes to our careers. We carry that now with us when it comes to our relationships. We carry that with us when it comes to our children. We carry that with us when it comes to our goals. If we gotta wait, we don't like it. How many of y'all struggle with waiting? Online, come on, let me know. Put some hand raised in the chat. How many of us struggle with patience? dealing with things in our life that take some time. And one of the things that you see all throughout Scripture is people kind of wrestling with the same thing. But I want to go to a Scripture in Matthew chapter 4 that shows us oftentimes what the enemy uses against us to cause us to not want to wait. Because here in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, you find this interesting passage of Scripture where the Bible talks about how Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. And the Bible says in verse 2 of Matthew 4, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And then the tempter approached him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He was hungry. Satan approaches him, says, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Watch verse 4. Here's what Jesus says. He answered, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Verse 7, Jesus told him, it is also written, do not test the Lord your God. Verse 8, again, I want y'all to know, the enemy doesn't just come after you one time. He's relentless. If he don't get you the first time, he'll come back a second time. Then he'll come back a third time. It says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus told him, go away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him and angels came and began to serve him. I want you to see the temptations that the enemy brings to Jesus. He tempts him in three ways. Indulgences, I want you to write this down. He tempts him with indulgences, with image, and with influence. Indulgence, image, influence. Indulgence, what do I mean by that? Satisfy yourself. You're hungry, right? Turn these stones into bread. Provide for yourself. Then image. Notice what he says. If you really are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. In other words, prove who you say. Prove yourself. That's what image is all about. Prove to others that you really worth something. Prove to others. I like flex. Flex on others so that way they can really see you. But then here's another one. Influence. Influence. Enemy says, the Bible says that he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said in verse 9, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. In other words, I want to give you influence. And that's oftentimes, it is these three moves that the enemy uses to get us to be impatient. 1 John 2 talks about this in verses 16 through 17. I don't have this for you on the screen, but just write it down. 1 John 2, 16, the Bible says that in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Which means this, the enemy has three moves. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And he uses these same three moves here on Jesus, which lets us know how he will come after us. He will tempt you with pleasure, with possessions, and with power. Image, indulgences, and influence. And what he does is he tempts us to take hold of the things that God really wants to give us, but in a premature fashion. So all these things that the enemy was tempting Jesus with were all things that God the Father had promised that Jesus would experience as he would fulfill his assignment on earth to redeem humankind. But not in this moment. And I want you to see how impatience and how failing to wait is bigger than just, oh, I didn't wait, or bigger than just, oh, I just don't have no patience. No. It's actually a trap of the enemy that he uses to derail our lives, to cause us to not step into the fullness of who God wants us to be. So when Paul talks about one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience, this is massive. Because in a culture that we live in, we don't like to wait. We want everything when we want it. And I want to let you know something. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Jesus could have turned the stones into bread, but that would have been him not trusting God the Father to provide. Jesus could have had influence, but that would be not trusting God the Father to fulfill the promise that when he would die and resurrect, that now at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Do y'all see the insidious nature of how the enemy, so what the enemy does is he tempts us with these indulgences and image and influence. And here's what this also lets us know, that every opportunity is not from God. Can I say this? I need y'all to get this. I need y'all to hear this, because oftentimes we think that opportunities are all of God. The enemy does not always trip you up with obstacles. Sometimes he trips you up and deceives you with opportunities. Which means we need the Spirit of God to help us to discern good from God. It looked good, but the question is it God? I got an opportunity to make more money. That don't mean that's God. I got an opportunity to go holler at this person. That don't mean that's the Lord. They look good, but are they God sent? Y'all do realize that the enemy sends people too, right? Y'all realize that? Y'all do realize that the enemy sends opportunities your way too, right? You do realize that he can send somebody your way and send something your way and send an opportunity your way that may look good on the surface, but the problem is you don't see the fine print in the contract. And what the enemy does is he's a master at causing us to be impatient. Satisfy yourself. Prove yourself. Elevate yourself. And let me say it like this. I want you to write this down. Most of the sin, this is what I've recognized in my own life. Most of the sin that we commit in our lives is because we don't want to wait on God. I want you to think about most of the trouble that you had in your life. It was probably because you went against what God has said to do. When I look back over my own life and I can see mistakes that I've made and opportunities that I've missed, it wasn't because God wasn't good. It's because I wasn't patient with him. Because I didn't want to wait on him. And how often, how many times have we found ourselves in situations or experienced pain in our lives simply because we didn't have patience? Y'all getting real quiet on me. Come on, I need y'all to help me, because this is tearing my spirit up as I'm preaching to you as well. You said something that you regretted later. Just had to give him a piece of your mind, but then you found out you were dead wrong. And now the relationship has been ruptured because you jumped the gun and said something or did something that you weren't supposed to do. Because I just had to get vindication, but vengeance is the Lord's. And how often have, because we jumped the gun, how many relationships have been ruined because of a lack of patience? How much time has been lost in our life because of a lack of patience? Have you ever tried to take a shortcut to a place only to find out that the shortcut was wrong and it took you longer to get to the place versus if you would have just took the original route to get there, you would have got there sooner? Anybody ever had that happen? Same thing that happens in our life, because we don't want to wait. One of the things that most of us who obviously live in this area, if you go across the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel and the Mono and the Merrimack Tunnel, you're always trying to find the quickest way to get to the tunnel. So if traffic's backed up one route, you know, if I got to go down, if it's backed up to LaSalle Avenue, I'm going to go all the way down to downtown Hampton. But sometimes you can't get out of waiting. And it's better to wait, because sometimes you will spend more gas, more time, more stress, more energy, just because you wanted to be impatient. Come on, I'm talking about myself right now. How many opportunities have we missed because of a lack of patience? This might strike a really big chord with us, but I think we need to say it. How much credit card debt has been accrued in our life because of a lack of patience? Because we just had to have the shoes, we had to have the clothes, we had to have the hair, we had to have this, we had to have that, and we didn't even have the money to pay for it from jump. My granddaddy would always say, if you don't got the money to buy it, then you can't afford it. Don't swipe a card. How How much have we, y'all, it's quiet today. And in many ways, our lives have taken twists and turns. I want you to think about how your life has maybe detoured. Some of the biggest painful moments that you might regret might be connected to the lack of patience. Because you jumped the gun, because you did things prematurely. Because you didn't wait things out. And more than what the enemy is tempting Jesus with here in Matthew 4, pleasure, possessions, and power, he's testing his patience. Can you wait on God to provide for you? You've been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you wait on him? Can you wait on God to elevate you? Can you wait on God to make your name known? Can you wait on God? I think that's the question that we all are wrestling with. Waiting on God, because we like to have it our way, just like Burger King says. I want it my way, and I want it when I want it. I want it how I want it. And many times our lives have been ruined because of a lack of patience. Bridges have been burned because of a lack of patience. Because we just didn't want to wait. Somebody said, get your weight up. Man, I'm not talking about physical weight, pounds and ounces. No. I'm talking about your patience. Because many of us in here, it's not that you're not gifted, you are. It's not that you're not anointed, you are. It's not that you don't have talents, you do. It's not that you don't have skills, you do. It's not that you don't have money, you do. What you lack is patience. Patience. Somebody say patience. Come on, this is one of them ouch sermons today. But you don't want to wait. And then we get frustrated with people who have a spirit of patience, because they don't move at the same pace that we do. Am I in the neighborhood yet? So we wreck our lives. We ruin our lives. I remember it was not too long ago. I was coming out of my neighborhood, and I was at a stoplight. And the way our coming out of our neighborhood flows is it's a road that goes straight like this. And coming out of our neighborhood, we're coming straight. And so there's a light right here. Coming this way, coming that way. So I'm at a red light. My light turns green. And usually at the intersection of our neighborhood, because we know that people zoom through that intersection, we've learned to wait for cars who might be in a rush to speed through the intersection to try to beat the light. Because there's been multiple times where we've almost seen accidents happen. Because the person who was here had a green light, but the person who was here had a red light, and they decided they were still going to go through the intersection. So I remember one day I had Aubrey in the car in the back seat, and we were there, and my light turned green, and I waited for about a good 2 to 3 seconds, making sure nobody coming. And as I'm proceeding through this green light, I look out the corner of my left eye, and a car is speeding down the street through the intersection. So in this moment, look, I'm going to just be real with you. Your pastor, with baby girl in the back seat, wanted to get out of the car. And not just lay praying hands on you in the name of Jesus. Flesh was on 1,000 in that moment. Somebody say 1,000. Not 1,000. 50,000. And the revelation that God gave me in that moment was, your failure to wait, other people's failure to wait, doesn't just impact you, it also impacts others. Lives could have been ended that day simply because we didn't want to wait. Because you were in a rush. And how much of our life has been ruined, set back, because of a lack. How many good people have walked out of our lives simply because we didn't have patience? Because we always fly off the handle. Because we always snap. Because we always cuss people out. Y'all remember one of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5 that I read? Outbursts of anger. It's connected to lack of patience. How many times have we had to go back and walk back things? But the good news is this. In spite of our impatience, in spite of our rashness, in spite of our failure to wait, God has still been patient with us. He has been patient with us. He has always been patient with us, and he will continue to be patient with us. He was patient with us even when we jumped the gun. He was patient with us even when we said something out of our mouth that we had no business saying. He was patient with us even when we cussed somebody out. He was patient with us even when we ran the red light. He was patient with us even when we went against his word and we trusted in ourselves rather than trusted God. He has been patient with us. He could have ended us a long time ago. He could have killed us a long time ago, but God is so patient with us. And the Bible says it like this in the book of Psalms 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in faithful love. The Bible says he's slow to anger. Thank God that God don't fly off the handle like we do. And let me tell you something. He would have every reason and right to do so. Because he is perfect and we are not. God, I want to let you know this. Can I keep it 100 with us? God could have ended you and me a long time ago. Because of your sin, because of my sin, he could have ended us a long time ago. Could have judged us perfectly a long time ago. But because he is slow to anger and abounding in faithful love, and he's compassionate and gracious. And let me help you understand something. Why are you still here today? Because God is patient. Why did you make it out of the accident? Because God is patient. Why did you not die when that thing happened? Because of God's patience. Why did you recover in the midst of that setback? Because of the patience of God. God is patient. Why did you survive the disobedience? Because of his patience. Why did the worst thing not happen to you? Because of his patience. And God has given you and I countless chances, opportunities to come to him, to come to him in spite of our ways. He has been patient. And I just want to know, is anybody here today grateful for the patient love and grace and mercy of God? Come on. Is anybody grateful for the fact that God didn't end you when he could have ended you? Is anybody grateful for the fact that God was kind to you, that he was compassionate to you? That, come on, y'all need to do better than that. He could have ended you last year. He could have ended you last week. But God is patient with you. Kept you. Gave you chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. Still patient. Someone said God's been patient. Come on, I'm talking about that patience. You know all about it because some of y'all have prayed prayers like this. God, if you just get me out of this, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And here's what's crazy. Don't shout yet. He got you out of it and you're still doing what you want to do. God is still patient with you. He's patient. If anybody had a reason to snuff us out, to give us the cold shoulder, to end us, to cast us away, to throw us away, it would have been God. But he didn't because he is patience. It's patience. I want you to look back over some of the stuff that you have survived. I'm talking about how some of y'all blew up at certain people and it should have ended certain things, but God was patient with you. Patient. So now when Paul talks about Galatians chapter 5, keep in step with the Spirit and how the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. The fourth fruit or characteristic of somebody full of the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, he mentions here is patience. He's connecting it to the patience of God. That patience is to be an attribute that is present and progressing in the life of somebody who said yes to Jesus. In other words, Christians should be the most patient people that people on earth should know. Let me say it again. Christians should be the most patient people that people should know. What is patience? Some of y'all are like, okay, what's patience? Tell me. Patience, I want you to write this down. One person says it like this, I love it. It is a state of emotional calm in the face of provocation or misfortune and without complaint or irritation. It means that I am calm and settled even when I'm being provoked, even when things around me are crazy and I don't complain about it and I'm not irritable about it. That cancels out all of us in here, myself included. Because I don't know about you, because sometimes when things happen, I get irritated. And I start complaining. Come on, where my complainers at? Come on, let's be honest. The truth will set you free. Come on, come on, come on, raise your hands. You complain in here. All of us, we complain. Oh my goodness, I can't believe this, and I can't believe that. No. Let me help you understand something. You realize there's a difference between waiting and being patient. Patience is the posture that you have while you wait. So when I'm stuck in traffic at the HRBT every single day, it's demonic. It's not of God. Do something about this. They're going to be building this tunnel out until Jesus comes back. I can't control the waiting. I gotta wait. I can't control the circumstances of my waiting, but I can control the spirit that I have while I wait. Come on, can we be real? How many times have we been in this situation? Oh my gosh. Would you just drive and oh my gosh, get over into another lane. Oh my gosh. You don't have a patient spirit. And that's how we, that isn't it oftentimes what we do? But patience is a state of emotional calm in the face of provocation and misfortune and without complaint or irritation. So which means when we're following the Spirit through obedience to God's word, patience will begin to be produced. I want y'all to notice the language back in Galatians chapter 5. Notice how Paul says, works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. Works, fruit, works, fruit. Works is what you do in your flesh. Fruit is what God does through you. In one circumstance, you are producing it. In the other circumstance, when you're submitted to God, he produces it through you. I have never seen an apple tree struggle to produce apples. You don't see no branches straining to produce fruit. The branches abide in the vine, and now the fruit just comes about because it's connected. So when Jesus says in John chapter 15, abide in me and I in you, and you will be fruitful, what he's saying is stay close to me, stay connected to me, hang out with me. And what now will happen is I will flow and produce patience in your life. So part of the reason why we might not be that patient as we think we are is because we're not as close to Jesus as we think we are. Talk to yourself, Edmund, because they're not getting it. Uncomfortable circumstances oftentimes reveals the depth of your relationship with God. So when Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, it's the same thing that Paul is saying here. Keep in step with the Spirit. Stay close, because the closer you stay to him, the more you will exhibit this fruit in your life. So if I'm struggling with patience, it is a symptom and a sign that I need to go deeper in my relationship with the Lord. Because being a Christian is not about a label, it's about a lifestyle. And the scriptures have so much to say when it comes to patience. And I want to give us a few truths really quick, just moving quickly, that we see all throughout scripture. Number one, I want us to understand the reason for patience. Why are we to be patient? This is the biggest thing that we gotta always answer. We gotta always ask why. Somebody say why. Why are we called by God to be patient people? Why? Because we have a loving God who has been patient and continues to be patient with us. That's the reason. Because he's been patient. If we're close to him, he calls us to be patient. And here's what 1 Timothy 1 says. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says this. And then he says, and I am the worst of them. But I receive mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, watch this, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience. as an example to those who would, as an example. He gives us the example in himself. On the cross, he was patient with you. He could have been got off the cross, but he was patient with you and I. Why did he suffer the way he did? Because he was patient. Why did he get flogged the way that he did? Because he was patient. Here's what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says. The Lord does not delay his promise as some understand delay, but he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. God is patient with us. The reason why we are to exhibit patience in our life and aim to see this fruit produced in our life is because God himself is patient with us. He is the reason. It's not because this person deserves it. It's not because that person deserves it. It's not because they're good. It's not because you're good. It's because God is good. But then, it's not just the reason for patience. I want to give us, this is where it gets really tight, the way of patience. Because throughout scriptures, we see some recurring themes when it comes to patience. And two of them are constantly mentioned throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm going to be honest, you're not going to like this first one. Patience, the way of patience, means that I am called to walk in patience, are you ready? Towards people. And the reason why patience is needed with people is because that they are imperfect, and so are we. Here's what Ephesians 4 says. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Can I pause right there and help you understand what Paul's saying? He says, if you're a Christian, act like it. Act like it. Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. In other words, there should be something different about you. If we profess to follow Christ, then that means we should practice a life that looks like him. Come on. This big boy, big girl Christianity. We ain't talking about being, we don't want to be saved-ish where we have the name of Christ, but we don't have the life of Christ. He says, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Watch this. Be completely humble and gentle. In the words of the great prophet Kendrick Lamar, sit down and be humble. Then he said, oh, here it is. It's almost like Paul cusses. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Oh, man, I got to be patient with my coworker that I don't like. Be patient. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says it, and we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak. Watch this. Be patient with who? Say it again, with who? Everybody say everyone. Matter of fact, say it like this. Everybody. Be patient with everybody. Who is everybody? Everybody. People that you like, people that you don't like. People who vote the same as you, people who don't vote the same as you. People who look like you, people who don't look like you. People who live in your neighborhood, people who don't live in your neighborhood. People in your family, people not in your family. Be patient with everybody. People who get on your nerves, people who don't get on your nerves. Be patient with everybody. Because everybody, including yourself and myself, are imperfect. And we all need patience. Here's what Proverbs 15:18 says. I'm keeping it going. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict. A hot-tempered person, somebody who just flies off the handle, it don't take much to set them off. They stir up conflict. They provoke it. They love to gas things up. Watch this, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. One who has a calm spirit about them, they bring a spirit of calmness to a situation that's hostile. Walk in patience. We're to be patient with others when they mess up. We're to be patient with others when they don't get it right. We're to be patient with others when they say the wrong things. Which means this, we don't give up on people. We don't throw people away. One of the things that I can't stand about the time that we live in is this two words called cancel culture. It's not biblical. How do I know it's not biblical? Because God had every reason to cancel us out, but he did not. You know what he did cancel out? Our sin by the cross. Thank God that God doesn't operate again according to the culture of the world, cancel culture, that where if you mess up one time or two times or if you have a limit that you can't go past this point, that he cancels us out. Thank God that he is rich in mercy. He's patient, not wanting anybody to perish, and he calls his people to extend patience as well. He calls us to be a patient people. Well, we're patient with people around us. We all need patience for ourselves, but we also need to show it towards others, which means I got to show it to the family member who gets on my nerves. I got to show it to the coworker, to the classmate to people who like you and people who don't like. I got to show it. I have to be patient. And I want you to extend the same patience to others that God has extended to you. Oh, Pastor, my patience is running low. That's the problem. You leaning on yours, not his. Oh, you're getting rid of my patience. Well, maybe that's a good thing so you can stop leaning on yours and get his. Because his doesn't have an end. Sometimes maybe that's why God put certain people in our lives. Some of us have been asking God to remove places and people and positions. And some of us have been, God, would you remove this? And God's like, I'm not. Because it's perfecting patience in you. I know we want God to remove the person who gets on our nerves. I know that we want God to make everything, but he don't always do that. Paul prayed and asked God to remove a thorn that he had in his side in 2 Corinthians 12 three times, and each time God said, mm-mm, my grace is sufficient. I'm leaving it there. It's almost like Paul would be saying, I've never been in this much pain. And it's almost like God would say, but you've never been in this much prayer. I'm leaving it. I'm leaving them in your life for right now. I'm going to leave you on that job right now. Because I got something that I'm producing in you. You just don't see it yet. I know we don't like it. It's okay. I'll come back with something better next week. We are to be patient with others because God has been patient with us. But here's another dimension of patience that Scripture oftentimes teaches us, and this might even be more difficult than being patient towards people. You ready for it? Patience towards God. Pastor Edwin, what do you mean patience towards God? He's not imperfect. No, but we are. Because when it comes to patience towards God, it means we learn to wait on him and to trust him. Being patient with God means, watch this, I trust his pace, his plans, and his purpose. It means I don't take matters into my own hands. And when you look throughout Scripture, there's so many biblical characters that are in Scripture where people tried to take matters into their own hands and they always mess things up because they didn't want to wait on God. Come here, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is 70-some years old. God makes a promise to him. You are going to be the father of many nations. Abraham looking around like, oh, fam, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm in my 70s, almost 80s right now. And years go by, he's 90-some years old, God speaks again, I'm going to make you the father of nations. Hey, fam, look, you know, they don't make certain medication. We ain't in that stage yet of humanity where there's all these breakthrough scientific methods to help us conceive. And so they get tired of waiting. And so they, Abraham and Sarah come up with this idea, well, let's take somebody else. And Abraham, you have sex with her, and then the child will come. And now what happens is something that God did not desire. He permitted it, but it was not what he preferred. And so now we got somebody else in the mix of a problem or in the midst of a situation that it should not have been there. And now there's unnecessary pain that people have to go through simply because they didn't want to wait. And there's countless stories all throughout the Scripture of people who did not want to wait on God. And I want you to understand something. The pace that God moves at is much different than yours. Y'all realize God is not in a rush at all. Somebody said it like this. The pace in which that Jesus moved while he was here on earth was approximately 2 miles per hour because he walked everywhere he went. He was never in a rush. You'll never see Mark or Matthew or Luke or John say, and Jesus ran. You won't never find that. Matter of fact, there was one instance in Scripture in John chapter 11 where Jesus gets word that somebody close to him by the name of Lazarus is sick and he's on the brink of death. And the Bible says Jesus stayed where he was for another 4 days. Oh, he moves at a different pace. Because what's oftentimes an emergency for us is just another walk in the park for him. Because his pace and his plan and his purpose is different. Somebody also said it like this, that in God's kitchen, there aren't microwaves, there are only crock pots. In his kitchen, there are no microwaves. It's crock pots, slow cookers. But we want that microwave blessing. We want that quick favor. And God's like, no. Have a seat. It's going to take a while. But it's going to be worth your while. Slow cook it. His pace is different than ours. You don't believe me? Here's what Romans 12:2 says. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. In other words, when you're going through, be patient. Be persistent in prayer. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. Wait for him. We got to be patient. We got to wait on him. I want you to write this down. When we choose not to wait on God, we are indirectly saying we don't trust God. When we fail to wait, it's a failure to trust. Our kids have gotten so much trouble in our household simply because they didn't want to wait for stuff. There's been unnecessary things that have happened because they didn't want to wait. But such is the same with all of us, myself included. That when we don't wait on God, it leads to disaster. So the question is, so Pastor Edwin, what should we be doing while we're waiting on God? You want to know what you're supposed to be doing? Be faithful. Be faithful to what God has called you to. Obey his word. Waiting is not passive. It is active obedience to God's word. Be faithful in your wait. I'll be transparent and kind of share my story. My story, I knew since I was in college that God was calling me to pastor. As a sophomore in college, I knew he was calling me to pastor. But I also knew that until it happened, I needed to be faithful and do what he wanted me to do. So that led to me now doing campus ministry and teaching Bible studies on campuses. And we started with like 10 people in a Bible study. And then it grew to like 40. And then it grew to like 50. And then two years later, it was like 150 students meeting on a campus on a Tuesday night. And then one semester, we had like 250 people meeting on a campus. Just be faithful. And then that led to another opportunity where my pastor that you guys more likely have heard a few weeks back, Pastor Sheridan Nelson from Abyssinia Baptist Church, he found me and connected with me and was like, hey, man, I'm looking for you, pastor. You know of anybody? I sure do. So I came on staff there for 6 years, faithful. Knew what God was calling me to, but wasn't ready for that because there was something that God needed to do in me before he could release me into what he was calling me to do. So for 6 years, I did that. And then finally, God deposited into a heart, calling you not just a pastor, but plant a church. So then in 2014, we planted a church. But that was years of waiting and being faithful. And many people miss some of the good things that God has because they won't be faithful where they are and instead are trying to get to the next place. And I want to let you know, stop rushing God. And I want to give some of us encouragement for those who are waiting on God. Because maybe for some of us in here, you're waiting on God to answer a prayer. You're waiting on God to heal this. You're waiting on God to provide here. I want to encourage you, don't stop waiting on God. Continue to trust God. Continue to be faithful to God with whatever it is that he has called you to do. Continue to wait. Continue to be patient. Why? Because of the outcome of patience. That's my third point. Because what we learn is that in being patient and faithful to God, when we are waiting on God, he always rewards us for our waiting. He always blesses us in some way because of our patience towards him. Here's what Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and they will trust in the Lord. How happy is anyone who has put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who have run after lies? How happy is anybody who's put their faith and trust in the Lord? Because what they see is that after a little while of waiting, God always responds. He always responds to our waiting. And here's what I love about what David says in Psalm 40. The Bible doesn't say how long he waited. It could have been a day, it could have been months, and it could have been years. But he waited. Was it hard? I'm sure it was. But he waited. He was patient. Here's what Isaiah 64 verse 4 says. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. God works for those who wait. I'm going to say it again because I don't know if you got it. God works for those who wait. God always responds to those who wait, and he always rewards those who wait. Always. He responds, and he rewards. And when you wait on God, let me just tell you this out of experience. When you wait on God, you don't have to go chasing after things, people, and places. They'll come find you. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. When you learn to trust God and move at his pace, he rewards. There are certain things that have happened in my life, not because I had the qualifications, not because I had this, not because I had that. It was simply because I waited and trusted on God. And favor will get you things that hustle can't. Because some of us think, I gotta be on my grind, I gotta be on my grind, I gotta be on my grind. I'm not saying that to be faithful. What I'm talking about is you placing your faith in your grind, as opposed to placing your faith in the one who gives you the ability to get on the grind. Because when I put my faith in the source and not the resource, the source is able to send me the resources that I need. And what I want to encourage us to do today is to stop trying to do things in your own strength. I want to get you today to begin to wait on the Lord. Because what you'll find is that God will meet every single need that you have. He will respond and he will reward. He might not do it the way that you want it to be, but I can promise you this, it will be better than you could ever expect, which is why Ephesians 3:20 says that he will do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask, think, or imagine. Somebody say, wait on God. Which means this, can I get real practical as I close? You could date that person, but they're not good and godly. Wait. You could take the job. It might pay more, but it's going to cost you more on the back end. Disconnected from your church, disconnected from your family, disconnected from friends. I'll wait. I could say something and give you a piece of my mind, but I feel like that's going to lead to something crazy. I'll wait. Do y'all know how many times I have wanted to respond in text message or email or whatever the case may be, and I typed it all up and I saved it in the draft folder? I'm helping some of us in here. I'm gonna help y'all. The draft folder might save you some things. Because then I recognize, oh, I was off. I wait. Because when we wait on God, he is a rewarder of our waiting in some way. And let me help you understand something. That more often than not, us walking in patience isn't always about getting something from God. Can I let you know that patience really is not about getting something, but becoming someone? Patience, I want you to write this down, is more about us becoming who God wants than getting what we want. It's more about us becoming who God wants than becoming and getting, rather, what we want. God says, you're asking me to bless you with this job and to bring increase. I'm trying to build character in you through your waiting, so that way when you do get the increase, you can handle the increase. Because if I was to give you certain things right now, you don't have the maturity and the character and the wherewithal to be able to sustain it. I'm glad that God did not give me everything that I asked for when I wanted it. I would have wrecked my life. I was asking to drive. I was telling my mom I wanted to drive when I was 10 years old. If she would have went along with that, I wouldn't be here today. I would have wrecked my life and probably wrecked other people's lives too. I'm glad that God does not give us everything when we want it, because we don't have the character and the maturity to be able to handle it. So he says, I'm going to take you through the crock pot though, and I'm going to cultivate you, and I'm going to build you, and I'm going to develop you, and I'm going to nurture you. So I'm going to allow you to go through this valley moment, so that way when you get to the mountaintop, you can handle it. So if you find yourself in a low moment right now and you say, God, I've been waiting so long for this. I've been waiting to be with somebody. I see everybody getting booed up, and I see everybody getting married, and I see everybody getting blessings, and I see everybody getting this and getting that, and I feel like you've forgotten about me. What's going on? And God is saying, I haven't forgotten about you. I got you in the crock pot. I'm marinating, I'm developing you, I'm cultivating you, because if you eat something prematurely before it's fully developed and cooked, you get sick. I'm trying to prevent you from getting sick. Developing patience in you. So I want to give you the words of my sermon title again, in closing. Get your weight up. And the good news about patience is that Jesus demonstrated it for us for our benefit. Because the Bible says that he was beaten, he was battered, he was humiliated, he was bruised. He could have chosen, he could have chosen not to endure the cross for sin and shame and for our brokenness, but yet he endured it all patiently. At any juncture in time, he could have said, I'm done getting beaten. I'm done getting flogged. I'm done with the humiliation. I'm done with all this stuff. I'm done with carrying the cross. I'm done with being mocked. I'm done with being ridiculed. I'm done with being misunderstood. I'm done with being talked about. But Jesus endured the cross patiently so that way we can reap the benefits of his patience. And I just want to know, is anybody grateful here today that Jesus, when he could have been impatient, when he could have got off the cross, when Jesus could have gave up on us, he said, I'm going to patiently endure this because my people need this. He suffered, he bled, he died. When everybody thought it was over, 3 days later, he rises with all power in his hand. And I want to go back to Matthew 4, because do you remember what the enemy said? If you will bow down and worship me, I will give you authority over all the world. Well, here's what the Bible says, that at the name of Jesus now, because of his patient obedience to the cross and because of his resurrection, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, which means that if you would just wait on God, if you would just trust God, if you would just be patient with God, God will reward you more than you could ever imagine. He responds and he blesses those who wait. Y'all have heard the axiom, good things come to those who wait. That is true. Good things, God things come to those who wait. Thank God for the patience of Jesus. Because had it not been for his patience, we wouldn't be here. So now, because of Jesus, I can experience the patience of God. And now I can express the patience of God. So I'm going to walk in patience towards people. I'm going to be patient in situations. I'm not going to jump the gun. I'm not going to be rash any longer. I'm not going to jump to conclusions anymore. No. If I even have to say, Holy Spirit, would you sit on me so I don't say anything out of my mouth that is not like you, so I don't do anything that is not like you. Do whatever it takes. Because I want to walk in patience. I want to experience the fruit of patience. And I believe that for many of us in here, you don't have a resource problem, you got a patient problem. You don't got a relationship problem, you got a patience problem. You don't got a happiness problem, you got a patience problem. And you can blame everything else that's happening around you. You can blame this, you can blame this person, you can blame that. No. What God is trying to reveal to you is that you don't have a spirit of patience on the inside of you. And it's costing you more than you recognize. But I believe that today God says, I want to bring you into a place where you experience the fruit of patience. I want to invite us all to stand to our feet in this moment. I believe in the name of Jesus that God wants to cultivate patience on the inside of us. He wants to produce patience on the inside of us. That we would be a people who are patient. No longer impatient. That yes, when an opportunity comes, Satan may try to tempt you to snap on somebody, to rush, to jump to conclusions, to jump the gun. No. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to move prematurely anymore. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to move at a frantic pace anymore. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to wait on the Lord. That is the word for many of us in here today and watching online. He said, would you wait on me? Wait on me. But God, you don't know what I'm going. I do. I'm right there with you. I know. If you could just see what's on the other side of your waiting. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on his promise. And while you're waiting, walk in patience towards other people. And can I also free some of us in here? This is maybe a word that you need to hear as well. You need to be patient with yourself. Because for some of you, you've been condemning yourself or been believing the lies of the enemy. I should be so much further along than I am, and I can't believe I did this, and I'm just a terrible person. God is saying, extend grace to yourself just like I did to you. Be patient. I shouldn't be struggling with this anymore. I shouldn't be dealing with this anymore. You know what's a part of my prayer life every single day? Lord, would you settle my spirit? Because anxiousness can get up in here in my mind, it can get in my heart, and it can cause us to now move at just a frantic pace, and I'm here. And God said, settle your spirit, slow down. Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Patience. So I want to pray for all of us in here this morning. In two ways. Number one is this. For those of you who are here and you don't know the God who is patience, you don't know the one who is the epitome of patience. For those who are here, if you're here today and you've never received the love and grace of God, I want you to understand God has been so patient with you. He has kept you. He has covered you. He has protected you. He has provided for you. Even though you didn't know it was him, it was him. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, today I want to experience the love of God. I recognize I've been running from God so much. I've been doing things on my own. I've been giving it to this temptation and that temptation. And I'm tired of trying to do things on my own. I'm tired of struggling on my own. Today I want a Savior. I want somebody to save me and free me from my sin. I want somebody to free me from my struggle. If this is you this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're saying today, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to devote my life to him. I want to put my faith in him. On the count of three, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If this is you, just shoot up your hand. One, two, three. If that's you. You're saying today, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to say yes to Jesus today. Amen. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this morning and you're saying, I struggle with patience. I struggle with waiting. I'm very impatient. I'm an impatient person. I want stuff when I want it. And I've jumped the gun so many times, and I've said things so many times, and I've done things so many times because I didn't want to wait. If this is you, could you be honest and just lift up your hand right now if this is you? Struggle with patience. Amen. So, Father, for every hand outstretched online and in person, I pray for your grace to be sufficient in their lives. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every single person, myself included, struggling to be patient at times, God, would you help us? Would you remind us how patient you are with us so that we now could respond with patience towards others and also in our relationship with you? Would you help us to be patient towards people? Would you help us to walk in love towards people? Would you help us to not jump the gun? Would you help us to not be rash? Would you help us to not be brash? Would you help us, God, to move at your pace and not the pace of culture and not the pace of this world and not the pace of others, but the pace of your spirit? We thank you. You are a patient God. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for being patient with us. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen.